Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Job, chapter 6. Job, chapter 6, we'll read verses 1 through 8, and we'll read this passage responsively. Job, chapter 6, verses 1 through 8. Job 6, verses 1 through 8. But Job answered and said, "Oh, that my grief were throughly weighed, and my calamity laid in the balances together. For now it would be heavier than the sand of the sea. Therefore my words are swallowed up. For the arrows of the Almighty are within me, and the poison whereof drinketh up my spirit. The terrors of God do set themselves in array against me. Doth the wild ass bray when he hath grass, or loweth the ox over his fodder? Can that which is unsavory be eaten without salt? Or is there any taste in the white of an egg? The thing that my soul refuseth to touch are as my sorrowful meat. Oh, that I might have my requests, and that God would grant me the thing that I long for." And let's pray. Father, thank you again for our church. Thank you for being our God. Father, in a crowd this size, Lord, it's true that life is a veil of tears. Lord, the needs, the burdens, the heartaches, those things which are necessary to a crowd this size is just innumerable. I pray that you'd use our preacher today. Fill him with your power. Lord, fill us with your power as we listen, so that we could not only be helped, but so that we could use it to help someone else, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
This morning, the sermon is found in Job chapter 6, verse number 8, where it says, "Oh, that I might have my request, and that God would grant me the thing that I long for." That's the title of today's sermon. The sermon is called "That for Which I Long." The human race has many longings. We hunger for certain things. Job says here in Job 6:8 that God would grant me the thing that I long for. You know, one of the greatest longings or appetites for man would be that of water. A thirsty man longs for a drink of water. The Bible tells us that David longed for a drink of water. 2 Samuel 23:15, it says, "And David longed and said, Oh, that one would give me drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate." He longed for it, it says. He longed for it spiritually. He longed for it physically. You and I, we long for food. We have a passion. Food is an appetite that is very, very obvious to the human race. I have to tell you, last night, my appetite was on the warpath. I don't want to admit to it, but Mrs. Owens and my doctor's trying to get me to not be so chunky. I've been working at this thing. I started at Christmas time, and I got home yesterday, and I was hungry enough. I thought I could eat a bear. Couldn't find a bear. And there are certain things I'm supposed to eat. Basically, rabbit food. You know. I thought, I've got to get this taken care of. I was so hungry, and so I ate some nuts because they told me, you know, that's protein. That'll satisfy you. I don't care how many nuts you eat. When you want a cheeseburger, nuts don't take care of it. So I ate a bunch of nuts. Then I got me one of them fake Weight Watchers candy bars. That didn't help me. So I got me some tangerines. I ate those. That didn't help me. So I ate another fake Weight Watcher candy bar. And that didn't help me. I got me some beets, you know. I thought, well, maybe that'll take care of it. So somebody had canned up some beets and gave them to me. I popped that baby open, ate about half of them, had beet stain juice all over me. That didn't help me, so I had another Weight Watchers candy bar. You think I'm kidding? I'm not. That didn't help me. So my wife said, well, honey, I know something. I'll give you some Brussels sprouts. I thought, oh, well, good. Thanks for loving me so much. I said, all right, let's try it. Bring those little boogers over here. So I ate a bunch of Brussels sprouts. Don't matter if you cut them in half or you eat them whole, they taste the same. That didn't help me. So I had a Weight Watchers candy bar. And you think I'm joking. I'm not. So finally, I got a quart of beans. I got some beans that a lady in our church here cans. I ate those beans. Then I had a Weight Watchers candy bar. And I went to bed. Because I was still hungry. And I thought maybe if I'd go to sleep, I could forget about this. You know what I dreamed about? Food! I'm sure, had you seen me in the night, I was slobbering. I tried to eat my pillow because it had feathers in it. And I thought, there's got to be meat in there. Man, spiritually, is much like man physically. We have spiritual longings. We have spiritual appetites. Whether you recognize it or not, ere you be lost or you be saved today, you have spiritual appetites. And like a man thirsty in the desert is a man's thirst for fulfillment spiritually. Like a man's intense hunger during a famine is a man's hunger for something spiritual, for the soul, something from God. Have you ever been hungry for a certain food? You try a piece of candy. It doesn't satisfy the longing. You're hungry for a certain thing. So you try a cookie. But it doesn't satisfy that longing. So you try it, maybe a piece of gum, but it doesn't satisfy that particular longing. See, the thing for which you truly hunger has not yet been eaten, so you find yourself still hungry. Man is like that spiritually. By nature, man hungers for God. He may not always recognize that for which he hungers, but there is a hunger for the Creator. There is a hunger for the purity of God. There's a hunger. Man can't always put his finger on that for which he hungers, but God knows what man is hungry for. By nature, man naturally hungers for God. We try other things to satisfy the longing in our soul, but we find ourselves unsatisfied. Someone went out and got drunk last week, longing for joy. They didn't find it. They didn't find that for which they were longing. Why? Their longing was not satisfied because you'll find joy in the Lord. But you were searching. Someone went out and got high on drugs, longing for peace. They didn't find that for which they were longing. Their longing was not satisfied in smoking the dope. Taking the pill, oh no, their longing was not satisfied. Why? Peace is found in the Lord. Someone went out and committed immorality last night, longing for true love and fellowship. But they didn't find that for which they longed. Why? Their longing was not satisfied because true love and true fellowship is found in the Lord. It's found in God. Someone has committed themselves in a powerful way to making money and gaining things in life. And that's the big issue of their life because they long for security and they think that possessions will satisfy the passion inside them. But they didn't find what they longed for because they had a fancy car or a fancy house. Their longing was not satisfied. Why? Security is found in the Lord. Jesus is the possession that they seek. An eternal home in heaven will satisfy the longing in their soul. Only having Him will totally satisfy that passion and that appetite that they experience. Hey, young person, experimenting in dangerous, sinful behavior because you long for something? What you long for is a true relationship with your Creator, the God of the universe. There's somebody under the sound of my voice today. You have tried it all. You've tried it all. You've let the bright lights of the world suck you in. You've partied. You've done this. You've done that. You've done good things and bad things. And you have not found that for which you seek. Why? What you seek for is God. It's God. Psalm 84:2, it says, my soul longeth. That's what the psalmist said. I long for God. That longing is just as natural as a baby seeking for mama's milk. Why? Because God created you just like a mother and father through the miracle of God created a baby. And a baby comes forth from the womb. And that baby is hungry. And that baby cries out. And nothing will satisfy that baby until it can have mama's milk. You and I are the creation of Almighty God. We came forth from the womb of God's intelligence and God's creative ability. And we were hungry for the one that created us. And that's God. Isaiah chapter 48, verse number 22, it says, there is no peace, saith the Lord, unto the wicked. Why? Because what they seek won't be found in the world. That peace is only found in Jesus Christ. That peace is found in the church of Jesus Christ. That peace is found in God's word. That peace is found in prayer. That peace is found in serving Him. Everybody here, both young and old, male and female, we all understand appetites. We all understand longings. And folks, there are people here today. You're starving to death for God. For God. And we ought to be starved for God. But there is a fulfillment because He does not elude you. He is available to you. Don't run from the source that is the satisfaction. That's Jesus Christ. That's the Word of God. That's the church. Don't run from that. I watch people get away from God and want to go out and sow their wild oats looking for fulfillment. You're not going to find it. You just ran away from the source. I call the sermon today, that for which I longed. Job said, oh, that I might have my request and that God would grant me the thing that I long for. The Bible tells us. Let's see. I don't know which one of these to use because there are about 55 of them up here. All right. Brother Brett. If this one dies, I'm going to use this one. And if this one dies, I'm going to use that one. And if this one dies, I'll use that one. All right. Thank you. Turn this one up just a little bit. It's not on. All right. There. Turn that down a little bit. That for which I longed. That for which I longed. The Bible says in the book of Psalms that David longed for God. Turn me down just a little bit more, Brother Brett, and it's a miracle I'd ever say that. That for which David longed. The Bible says that David longed for God. Longed for God. Psalm 63, verse 1 and 2, it says, O God, that thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see thy power and thy glory. So as I have seen thee in the sanctuary, here the psalmist said, he said, my soul longed for God. Folks, you need God more than you need food. You need God more than you need air. You need God more than you need water. You need God. Hey, you as a married person, you need God more than you need intimacy. The thing we all need to stop and realize our great need of God. And there are many that are seeking many things, hoping that they are going to meet the need of life. But it is God that we ought to seek. Do you long to be with Him? Do you long for a time of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer? Do you long for that? Do you long for your time in your Bible? Do you long for the fullness of His Spirit? Do you long for His presence in your life? Do you long for His influence in your life? Do you long for His blessing? Do you long to be a blessing to Him? Do you long for God? The psalmist said, I long for God. I long for Him. I have a passion for God. You know how rare it is you'll find people in this day and age that have a passion for God? They have a passion to be with Him and a passion to promote Him. Do you long to please Him? Psalm 42, verse number 1 says, as the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. It's talking about, a deer that's ran and it's ran itself silly. Can't wait to get to that brook and drink of that sweet water. I remember growing up, I had a dog. We named her Spot. And my dog Spot went everywhere with me. Everywhere. If I went, Spot went. We would ride our bikes. I'd jump on my bike Saturday morning, would come around and I'd jump on my bike and I'd take off riding. And there would be Spot right behind me. And just so you all know, I could ride really fast. I was one of the best bike riders in the whole town. There I was, 8, 9 years of age. I was on my bike. I had a banana seat. Y'all know what a banana seat is? I had me a banana seat. And I would take off a riding and there was Spot right behind me, trucking along. If I'd go slow, Spot would run slow. Well, sometimes Spot rode her bike. No. If I was running along and if I got to going fast, Spot would go fast. If I stopped, Spot would stop. Well, I can remember times when I was racing and there was old Spot behind me, and there was a certain time, but we didn't have all this new technology. Mom would say, you be home before the street light comes on. That's an iPad street light. There were times when I would see the street light. You know how they begin to flicker? Like it's getting ready to come on. You better jump on your bike and get home, or there'll be something flickering when you get home that you won't like. My mom could create energy, hot cross buns, I'll tell you, brother. I'd jump on that bike and I would be pedaling to beat the band. There's old Spot behind me. Her ears are a flapping. Sometimes her tongue got out of her mouth, and I mean, it looked like she had three ears, that tongue flapping and two ears a flapping. We'd get home and I'd screech in. The old street light would come home. There was Mom standing with Dad's belt to greet me in tender love and mercy. And old Spot would run for her bowl. I mean, she's flinging it everywhere. We take a shower. Spot was, I mean, it was everywhere. Half of it on the floor. She was thirsty. The psalmist said, as the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee. Are you that thirsty for God? The psalmist, like Spot, said, I was running through life and I looked for all the things that would satisfy, and I wasn't finding it. And I began to realize, as life was wearing me down, and I began to realize as the pains of life and my spiritual side began to hurt, and all the pain of the burden, I was thirsty and wore out, and I tried everything for satisfaction. And then one day it occurred to me, I was thirsty for God. Like old Spot, we'd run to God and lap up the love of God and let it refresh our soul. Hey, unsaved person, what you long for is God. What you're seeking as you run from entertainment to entertainment, from high to high, what you're really looking for is the ultimate high, and that is the high of the God of the universe entering your life and changing you. Hey, backslidden person. Backslidden Christian, what you're seeking is found in God. Don't run from it. Run to it. I see that David longed for God. But not only that, I see that David longed for the house of God. He longed for it. The Bible says in Psalm 84, verse 2, my soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart, my flesh crieth out for the living God. The courts of the Lord. What were the courts of the Lord? It was a place where they met God. It was church. If you're longing for God and you're looking for the fulfillment that God provides, He's going to provide much of that fulfillment in His church. That's why He created the church. This is God's way. If you're saved and you're right with God, you'll long. I said if you're saved and you're right with God, you will long for church. You've heard me say it before. Hey, when we're right with God, it's not that we have to go to church. It's that we get to go to church. We long for church. You'll know when you're getting out of the will of God, you no longer long for church. And for whatever reason, come up with whatever excuse and whatever keeps you from longing for it. Whatever it is, it does not matter. If you're right with God, you long for church. You should long to see, you ought to long to see that sign out there that says Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church on a Sunday morning. You ought to long to drive past that beautiful playground out there. You ought to long to see those parking lot attendants on a Sunday morning, and you ought to long to see that parking lot fill up. You ought to long to see those greeters at the front door. You ought to long for it. You ought to get out of the car heading toward the greeters saying, look at that. There they are again. I knew it would be that way. I've been looking forward to this. You ought to long to go to that nursery and put your children in it. You say, Brother Owens, no problem there at all. No problem there at all. You ought to long to go to your Sunday school class, and you ought to long to hear that prelude when Mrs. Doss and Mrs. Knipe or whoever happens to be playing that organ on a Sunday morning. You ought to long to hear that live music kick in. Why? Something's about to happen. And you long for the courts of the Lord. You long to be here. You long because that prelude that starts 10 minutes before every service, it's the signal that God's about to do something. You ought to long to see that choir enter. Can I tell you something? We're all in the back. We've got a little, we've got a little light back there. We flip a switch. It starts flashing. And that says to everybody, come out. It's like at a racetrack. We're all back there waiting. We're just waiting for the light to go off. Why? We're going into the auditorium. Something's just about to happen. Hey, we ought to long to see that choir come in. We ought to long for it. We ought to long to see the staff. And oh, how I long to see that happen. I long for it. I long for the choir to come in. I long to see the staff enter. I long to hear the choir opener. I long to hear the orchestra kick in. I long to hear God's people singing the songs of Zion. I long for the introduction of the visitors and long for the offering time to arrive. I long to hear the special song. You ought to long to hear the sermon and long for the altar call, and that it does not last for just a moment. You ought to thank God that the altar call doesn't last for just a moment. Yeah, I mean, churches don't even have altar calls anymore. If you're not careful, you're looking at your watch all the time at the altar calls. I wish they'd get this over with. I got to get out of here. Well, there are plenty of churches where they don't even have them. They don't have all sorts of people getting saved and all sorts of people getting baptized and all sorts of people spread across the altar, bowing down, getting close to God. You could find a church where the people don't long for the movement of God. Oh, we should long. Long for the afternoon to conclude so that we can come back in the evening and let God meet with us and start all over again. What a fellowship. What a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms. You should long for Wednesday night church. Very first church that I ever attended was Little Independent Fundamental Baptist Church. My county had about 3,000 people in the county. Martinsburg is a metropolis compared to the place where I grew up. And my city had about 3,000. My church was a country church outside the big city. And I went to a little church that's about a mile and a half outside of town. And when it was first started, it was started in a two-car garage. Had an old upright piano. One of those that took three or four burly men and a big mama woman to help move that thing. Woo! You know the kind I'm talking about. Monster pianos made out of cement. They didn't have padded pews, had a bunch of old steel chairs that had been gathered together. Some of the chairs were blue, some of them were green, some of them were gray.
We had the parking lot. They had thrown out some gravel, but couldn't afford that small gravel. They had gravel. They were boulders, huge boulders. You had to have your climbing gear to walk through the parking lot. And all the women would come in and gripe because the heels on their shoes were all scarred up from falling in between those rocks. I remember that we had donated songbooks. I mean, all sorts of different colored songbooks. Sometimes they didn't even match in the pages. If you got a blue one, turn to page 127. If you got a green one, turn to page 128. More duct tape than paper. Had a wood burner that we heated with. I can tell you something. His 16-year-old boy longed for them old steel chairs. I longed to hear him begin to play that old nasty upright piano. I longed to pick up one of those songbooks that was falling apart. And I longed to walk in and sit down and be a part of a church in a two-car garage. Why? It was where God was. And I longed for it. And you too, you should long for the church. You should long to be here three times a week. Hey, you know something? I long to hear you laugh. I long it. I long to hear you and watch you learn. And I long to hear you sing. I long to watch the Holy Spirit take over in a service. I long to hear Brother Edward sing. I just long for it. I long to see the altar call and to see the altar full. I long to watch the baptistry used. I long for it. I long to watch Brother Nash pull the sing even out of some of you sour people. I watch him up here and you stand there and stare at him like you've never heard about Jesus and you've never sang before. And somehow the Spirit of God comes on him and he starts pulling it out of you. And some of you that won't sing anything but the blues, we get you singing. I long for that. I long to watch God take over. I long for it. I feel it. It's a passion of mine. I long to walk in at the start of every service and hear Paul Seavey say, "That's my preacher." I long for it. I long for it. If you don't know, Paul's one of our special needs boys. I long for it. I long for it. I long for when the service concludes for Sandy Hess, who's one of the most admirable ladies in our church that is going through chemo, that's got a better spirit than some of you that are as healthy as you could be. I long for her after church to walk up to me and give me some breath mints. I get the hint, Sandy. I long to watch these teenagers sit down front. I long on Sunday night to see the children coming by my office and getting suckers from the preacher after church. How any Christian can get backslidden enough to where they want to avoid church? I know it happens. I know it could happen to me. But just so you know, I've just formed a habit. I'm hooked. I love it. I have a longing for God. I have a longing for the courts of the Lord. I have a longing for it. And you say, yeah, but you're the preacher. No, you don't understand. Trace me back before I was a preacher. Trace me back to when I went to work like you did. Trace me back to when I was working 60 and 70 and 80 hours in the secular arena. And I had a wife and four kids. I longed for it. I didn't let anything get in the road. I didn't let anything stop me from being in church. I longed for it. I longed for it before I worked at the church. Ask anybody. They'll tell you, oh, I have a longing for God and I have a longing for the courts of the Lord. Not only that, the Bible says that David had a longing for the Word of God. It says in Psalm 119:20, said, "My soul breaketh for the longing that it hath unto the judgments thy judgments at all times." The judgments are as His Word. Psalm 119 verse 40 says, "Behold, I have longed after thy precepts." Precepts, that's His Word. Psalm 119:131 says, "I opened my mouth and panted, for I longed for thy commandments." Commandments, that's thy word. You understand what David said? David said, "I opened my mouth, I was panting after the word of God." That's beyond your comprehension, isn't it? You do have things that you pant after. You do. Everybody does. What's yours? David said, "I had a passion, a longing for God. I had a longing for the house of God. I had a longing for the Word of God." David longed for the presence of God. He longed for it. He wanted it. You see, the Word of God is the bread of life. I love to smell bread cooking. I do not know whose idea it was to put a Subway in the gas station, but they did us a favor. You say they put that in there when you smell the bread cooking. Who cares about gas? Let's get a sandwich. Oh, do I love to smell the bread cooking. Let me tell you something. God's always got something cooking in God's book, the old oven of God's Word. He's baking bread every day. There's bread available. You might want to wake up in the morning and take a big old whiff of the old King James Bible. Grab you a chunk of bread. Hey, butter it with the Holy Spirit. Take it down. Let it change your life. Hey, do you long for the Word of God? Do you long to read your text on your cell phone more than you long to read the Word of God? You long to read the blogs that come your way more than you long to read the Word of God. You long to read your email more than you long to read the Word of God. You long to tweet and be involved in Twitter more than you long for the Word of God. Let me tell you something. You long for Facebook, but the book you should put your face in is God's book. You ought to long for the Old Testament. You ought to long for the book of Genesis and long for the book of Exodus and long for the book of Leviticus and long for the book of Numbers and long for the book of Deuteronomy and long for the book of Joshua and long for the book of Judges and long for the book of Ruth and long for the book of 1 Samuel and long for the book of 2 Samuel and 1 Kings and 2 Kings and 1 Chronicles and 2 Chronicles. You ought to long for Ezra and Nehemiah and Esther and Job and Psalms and Proverbs and Ecclesiastes and Song of Solomon. You should long for Isaiah and Jeremiah and Lamentations and Ezekiel and Daniel and Hosea and Joel and Amos and Obadiah. You should long for Micah and Nahum and Habakkuk and Zephaniah and Haggai and Zechariah and Malachi. You ought to long for the Old Testament. You ought to long for the New Testament. Matthew, long for Mark, long for Luke, long for John. Long for John, Mrs. Doss. You ought to long for the book of Acts and long for the book of Romans and long for 1st and 2nd Corinthians and long for Galatians and Ephesians and Philippians and Colossians and 1st Thessalonians and 2nd Thessalonians and 1st Timothy and 2nd Timothy and Titus and Philemon and Hebrews and James. You ought to long for it. Long for 1st Peter and 2nd Peter and 1st John and 2nd John and 3rd John. You ought to long for Jude and Revelation. That's what you ought to long for. That's what you ought to long for. You should long to hear it preached. You should long to hear the gospel preached. You should long to hear us talk about heaven. You should long to hear the preaching about love. You should long to hear the preaching about the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. This week I had the privilege of preaching to the kids at Martinsburg Christian Academy in chapel a couple of times. And I'll tell you something. I long to preach the Word of God to them. I just long to do so. You should long to memorize God's Word, and you should long to live God's Word, and you should long to sing God's Word, and you should long to read God's Word, and you should long to promote God's Word, and you should long to hear God's Word, and you should long to learn God's Word, and you should long to teach God's Word. You should long for nothing more. Then you long for God, His house, and His Word. They ought to be at the top of our longings. And if they're not, we need to do some adjusting and figure out how to get it done. Do you long to read your Bible more than you long to read the morning newspaper? Do you long to play your video game more than you long to read His Word? Do you have a greater longing to watch your favorite NFL team then you long for God and long for His Word and long for His church? You ought not be staying home the night of the Super Bowl to watch football. You ought to come to church. You long for your romance novel more than you long for God's love book. Do you long to read the stock market report but not long for the Word of God? Do you long for your pornography, but you do not have a passion for God's book? Think about it. Think about it for a second. You're addicted. You run back to that trash over and over again. What would be wrong with forming an addiction to God's Word? You see, God said there's a longing. There ought to be a longing for God within the soul of the Christian. And even those that are not born again, the longing that you have that is being unsatisfied by everything in the world, I know what you need. You need Jesus. There ought to be a longing for the house of God. There ought to be a longing for the Word of God. Hey, David longed to help people. He longed for it. Listen to this verse. 2 Samuel chapter 13, verse 39, it says, "And the soul of King David longed to go forth unto Absalom." Huh. David longed to have a meeting with Absalom. Absalom had sinned and hurt David. Absalom had hurt himself and hurt others because of his sin. But David had a longing to have a reconciliation and to see Absalom get right with him and with God. He longed for it. David longed to help the fallen. I didn't say kick them while they were down. He longed to help them get up. Some of you are Pharisees. If someone's not a good Christian, you're not toward them. I'm for people living right. And I hate sin, but I don't hate people. Should not all of us have within our soul a longing for the stray Christians to get right with God? Should not we all want the lost to be saved? Brother Ron Shank and I were out soul winning. We at the soul winning meeting Thursday night. The minute the meeting was over with, he and I took off, went out soul winning for a little while. I began witnessing to a man who was very, very sick. Brother Shank, he could tell you the story. I gave the man the gospel, but the man could not communicate well. I gave him the gospel and I gave it to him as sincerely as I knew how. When I asked him, I said, "Sir, I'm going to help you pray the sinner's prayer of salvation." And you say this and you mean it in your heart, but he just couldn't talk. He was so sick. I said, "You mean it in your heart and you'll be born again." I bowed my head. Brother Shank bowed his head. We prayed the sinner's prayer. I looked up. I looked at the man. The man had a panicked look on his face. I said, "Sir, did you just trust Christ?" I couldn't understand a word that he said. I couldn't. I couldn't tell if the answer was yes or the answer was no. I'm going to be very honest. When Brother Shank and I walked away from the man as we were leaving, I said, "Brother Shank, I can't tell. I don't know if he just got saved or not. I can't tell." And in my heart, there was a longing just to know that that man was not going to die and go to hell. There was a longing inside me that just said, we just told him about Jesus and he's so bad off. Surely he's not going to live for long. Well, I don't know who's going to live for long, do you? I mean, life ends suddenly. Do you long for someone to be saved? Thank God we went to another place, and while we were there, I started talking to a man, and I said, "Boy, have you gone to church much in your life?" He said, no, haven't gone to church much. He said, "I can tell you this." He said, "I've been married to my wife for 77 years. That means he's in his 90s. I said, "You have experienced a lot in life." He said, "I have experienced just about everything." I said, "Let me ask you this. Have you ever experienced the miracle of Jesus Christ saving your soul?" He said, "No." I said, "Let's not leave this life without experiencing that." And in a few minutes, we led that old man to Jesus Christ and he got born again. Oh, do I long to help people. David longed to have a right relationship with Absalom. David longed to help. Hey, let's reclaim the backslidden. When somebody's backslidden and they walk into the church, it is our goal to reclaim them, not to criticize them. That's our goal. I'm not talking about the ones that come in to flaunt their backsliddenness. That disgusts me. I'm talking about the ones that come back and they have a desire and they need somebody to accept them and love them. Hey, I long to help reclaim the backslidden. I long to get those that are not saved, saved. I long to see the scattered sheep of the flock come back into the church. Hey, you know, listen, I'll tell you something I long for. I long to help people. I long when we have a homegoing service. I long when we are having what the world would call a funeral service. I long that in that time that we spend together, we bring comfort to the grieving. Oh, do I long for that? I want so badly when we have a homegoing service to people to be able to walk away and say, I feel better about this whole thing. And there is a heaven and it's going to be okay. And I long for that. I long at the hospital when we're there visiting. I long to be an encouragement. Ada Korbeiser's mom fell and, oh boy, was she all beat up. I ran down there and visited with her on Wednesday. And when I got there in intensive care, I don't know how old she is, but her eyes almost swollen shut. She had fallen and they had her had a ventilator on her and just keeping her breathing. And when I walked into the room, the family just gathered around. And I heard someone say, let's step out so the preacher can pray. And another one said, oh, no, I want to be here while he prays. There were four people from that family that got saved this week. And we prayed that she would get better. And I had a note slid underneath my door today that they took the ventilator off of her and she's improving. Oh, my, do I long to see that people are helped. I long to help the hurting. Mrs. Owens and I, the other night, we took Carmen and Emily and Elizabeth. We took them out and went out and had a meal with them and spent a little time fellowshipping. And I watched everybody but me have dessert. Emily, I longed for a bite of your sundae. She didn't even offer me any. She got a smiley face Sunday at Bob Evans. And it did have a smiley face, didn't it? And you ate the face. I didn't even get a bite. I long to get out of church today. I am so hungry right now. It's pathetic. Ed Hawkins said to me, I said, Ed, pray for me. I've lost 20 pounds in 30 days. He said, you need to market that. No, you don't want to market it. It's terrible. It makes you weird. I'm hungry. Let's go home. Get the Lord's Supper crackers out. You know something? I long. Brother Ken Davis and I were having a cup of coffee and spending a little time together. His brother went to heaven. And somebody used to be in our church that got away from God was at the restaurant. I said to the waitress, I said, I want you to get the bill off that table and bring it over here to me. I want to pay their bill. A few minutes later, somebody that would normally avoid me walked over and said, I think I owe somebody a thank you. I said, well, thank the Lord. I'm so glad to see you. And for the first time since they started avoiding me, they smiled real big. Said, preacher, sure appreciate you. Oh, do I long for that. I long that my relationships be right. I long to see the backslidden reclaimed. Here's the great thing about this. We have longings. Listen to this verse. I'm almost done. You say, oh, good preacher, I'm obeying your sermon. I long for it to be over. You have longings. Listen to this. You see, David longed for God. And then we find out that David longed for the house of God. Then we found out that David longed for the word of God. Then we find out that David had a longing to help people and help the fallen and help the lost. In Psalm 107, verse number 9, it says, for he satisfieth the longing soul. Oh, my. Not only do you and I have a longing, but our God satisfieth the longing. It's a terrible thing feeling or having a longing for something, but not having a fulfillment for that longing. Terrible. But God does something for us. When you long for God, He will fulfill your longing. God is not a void creator. He's a void filler. God is the fulfillment of that for which you long. Hey, backslidden church member, it is Jesus that can fulfill your longing. Hey, wayward husband or wife. He said, well, I'll go out here and get me another one. That will not fulfill the longing in your soul. It's you getting right with God that will fulfill the longing in your soul. Hey, rebellious teenager, flaunting your rebellion to others. What you need is Jesus, not to make a name of yourself flaunting your rebellion. Hey, person seeking life's best. You know what that is? Jesus. Life's best is the Word of God. Life's best is the Holy Spirit. Life's best is the New Testament church. Life's best is God. Life's best is the Word of God. That's what life's best is. That's what you ought to long. If you're lost here today, if you're not saved, the Bible says in Psalm 119, verse 174, I have longed for thy salvation. If you're unsaved, that which you're seeking concerning your eternity is found only one way, salvation. Listen, you say, I am scared to death to die. We can take care of that. Say, how? Salvation will take care of the fear that you have. Salvation will take care. You long for peace after death. It's only going to be found one way. Your longing for peace after death will be found in salvation by Jesus Christ. Salvation will settle your longing for peace. It'll settle your fears. You can't work your way to heaven. What settles this whole thing of your eternity, it's found, your longing for Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus did all the work with his perfect life, his willing death, his miraculous resurrection. He made salvation available. You see, you know all the people out there that think they can work their way to heaven? They're not satisfied. They are so unsatisfied. Jesus did the work. What we need to fulfill our desire and our longing for security for our future after death, that longing is only satisfied by Jesus Christ. If you're here today and you're not sure you go to heaven, you know what I'd do if I were you? I'd get saved. You are going to be shocked how God will fulfill the longing inside you. Some of you, your passions are out of control. Let me tell you what you're really looking for. Jesus. There are people in here. I'll tell you what you ought to do today. You ought to change addictions. I think I have an addictive personality. Whatever I commit myself to, I'm committed. I'm sure glad I'm addicted to Jesus. I'm sure glad. If you're not saved, you ought to get saved today. If you're away from God, you ought to come back. What you're searching for in the world's not out there. And you'll find out. You'll go out full, come back empty. And you'll find out what you needed was here all along. If you're backslidden, long for the things that the Bible teaches that we should long for. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Here's the question. If you died today, are you 100% sure you'd go to heaven? If you say, I do not know that for sure, you can be. You can know for sure you're on your way to heaven. If you're not saved and you're not sure you're on your way to heaven, you need to get born again. Who here today would say, preacher, I am not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. I have a longing. I have a longing to have my eternity settled. And I want Jesus Christ to settle it. But as of this moment, as I said here, I'm not sure I'm going to heaven, but I want to settle it. I want to go to heaven when I die. Preacher, pray for me. Would you raise your hand right now and say, pray for me? Pray for me. I see that hand and I see that hand and I see another hand. You say, I'm not saved. If I died today, I don't know for a fact I'd go to heaven. I see that I long for is truly Jesus Christ in salvation. Who else would join these and say, that's it? I want to be saved. I want to trust Christ. Pray for me, preacher, that I would take care of it before it's too late. Who would join these and raise their hand right now? You've seen a hand. Thank you. God bless you. Who else? You'd say, that's me. I need to be born again. That's what I need. In the balcony, just raise your hand. Let me see it and say, I need to be born again. And let me pray that you'd be saved. God bless you. Who here would say, Brother Owens, I'm saved, but I'm backslidden. I'm away from God. And I can't tell you how backslidden you are. You know, if you are at the peak of your Christianity, and if you're not, that's called being backslidden. But somebody here would say, I'm backslidden. And I have looked elsewhere for fulfillment, but I realize that the fulfillment will be found in my relationship with God being at its peak. And I need to adjust that for which I long. I need to refocus my longings so that I long for those things that bring true fulfillment. And God has spoken to my heart today. I'm a Christian. I'm saved. But I need to refocus my longings. Pray for me, preacher. Would you raise your hand and say, that's me. There are hands all over this building. Hundreds of hands. You say, I need to refocus. God bless you. You may put your hands down. There's somebody here who needs to come down here and apologize to God today and say, God, I'm backslidden. I need to rededicate my life. My longings have gotten me off track. I've looked for fulfillment elsewhere, but I know it's only going to be found in Jesus, the Word of God, the New Testament church, serving God and serving and helping people. You may need to come. Remember, if you're not saved, you come and you walk up to one of the men that will be standing down front. You walk up to him and say, I want to be saved. You men, watch very carefully for those coming. We'll take a Bible and show you how to be born again. If you've been saved and never been baptized, there'll always be a longing in your soul until you get baptized, because it is a step of obedience you should take after your salvation. Baptism won't save you. But if you've never been baptized, after your salvation, you need to get it cared for. There will always be an empty spot in your longings, because that's a step of obedience you must take. I ask the instrumentalists to be